At the age of 17, while still a junior in high school, Christopher Simmons decided he wanted to kill someone. He talked things over with his two friends, Charles Benjamin and John Tesmer, about the possibility of committing burglary and murdering someone. He invited the two friends to join him. Because Benjamin and Tesmer were 15 and 16 years old respectively, Simmons assured the two boys they would get away with it because they were all minors. Although both boys initially agreed to Simmons' plan, Tesmer backed out on the night of the murder. On September 8, 1993, around 2 a.m. in the morning, Simmons and Benjamin headed for Shirley Crook, the victim's home. The two found a back window cracked open at the rear of Crook's home. They opened the window, reached through, unlocked the back door, and entered Miss Crook's home. Miss Crook was awakened when Simmons turned on the hallway light. She yelled, "Who is there?" In response, Simmons entered Miss Crook's bedroom where he recognized her from a previous car accident. According to Simmons' own admission to friends, seeing Miss Crook's face confirmed his own resolve to murder her because, in quote, "the bitch seen my face." When Simmons entered Miss Crook's bedroom, he ordered Miss Crook out of her bed. She refused to comply. Simmons then forced her to the floor with Benjamin's help. While Benjamin guarded Miss Crook in the bedroom, Simmons found a roll of duct tape, returned to the bedroom, and bound her hands behind her back. Simmons and Benjamin used the duct tape to cover her eyes and mouth and bind her hands. They walked Miss Crook from her home and placed her in the back of her minivan. Simmons drove the van from Miss Crook's home in Jefferson County to Castlewood State Park in St. Louis County. After, the two perpetrators put Miss Crook in her minivan and drove to a state park. There, they reinforced the bindings, covered her head with a towel, and walked her to a nearby river. They tied her hands and feet together with electrical wire, wrapped her whole face in duct tape, and threw her from the bridge, drowning her in the waters below. On the afternoon of September 9, Stephen Crook returned home from an overnight trip. He found his bedroom in disarray and reported his wife missing. On the same afternoon, fishermen recovered the victim's body from the river. The next day, after receiving information of Simmons' involvement, police arrested him at the high school and took him to the police station in Fenton, Missouri. The state charged Simmons with burglary, kidnapping, stealing, and murder in the first degree. He was tried as an adult. Simmons was found guilty of murder and sentenced to death at the age of 18 years. Following his sentence, a new court ruling in Atkins v. Virginia barred the execution of defendants who were mentally incapacitated. Simmons then filed a post-conviction relief, arguing that, under Atkins, the Eighth Amendment also barred the execution of minors. The Missouri Supreme Court agreed with him. The court overturned his death sentence and instead sentenced him to life imprisonment without eligibility for probation, parole, or release except by act of the governor. The U.S. Supreme Court agreed to further review Simmons' case. So we are currently before the U.S. Supreme Court. And here's the issue before the court. The issue for the U.S. Supreme Court to decide on is whether the Eighth Amendment forbids imposition of the death penalty on offenders who were under the age of 18 when their crimes were committed. And here is the rule. The Eighth Amendment prohibits cruel and unusual punishments. Capital punishment must be limited to those offenders who commit a narrow category of the most serious crimes and whose extreme culpability makes them the most deserving of execution. To apply this rule to the facts of the case, the court began its analysis by considering the culpability of minors. The court found that minors have less culpability than adults who commit capital murder for three reasons. 1. Minors below the age of 18 lack maturity and have an underdeveloped sense of responsibility as compared to adults, and these qualities often result in impetuous and ill-considered actions and decisions. The second area of difference between adults and minors is that juveniles are more vulnerable and susceptible to negative influences and outside pressures, including peer pressure, than adults are. And the third broad difference is that the character of a minor is not well formed as that of an adult. The personality trait of juveniles are more transitory, less fixed. A heinous crime committed by a juvenile is not evidence of irretrievably depraved character. Additionally, there are two distinct social purposes served by the death penalty, which are retribution and deterrence of capital crimes by prospective offenders. Whether viewed as an attempt to express the community's moral outrage or as an attempt to right the balance for the wrong to the victim, the case for retribution is not as strong with a minor as with an adult. Retribution is not proportional if the law's most severe penalty is imposed on one whose culpability or blameworthiness is diminished to a substantial degree by reason of youth or immaturity. As for deterrence, it is unclear whether the death penalty has a significant or even measurable deterrence effect on juveniles. The likelihood that the teenage offender has made the kind of cost-benefit analysis that attaches any weight to the possibility of execution is so remote as to be virtually non-existent, to the extent that the juvenile death penalty might have residual deterrent effect. It is worth noting that the punishment of life imprisonment without the possibility of parole is itself a severe sanction, in particular for a young person. To conclude, the court affirmed the lower court's decision to sentence Simmons to life in prison without the possibility of parole.